Good morning. It's Thursday, July 25th, and I begin with a quote from one of our financial advisors, and I quote, "Here is something I've been keeping an eye on, the relationship between the DBV, which is the G10 currency exchange-traded fund, overlaid against the SPY, which is the SPDR S&P 500 exchange-traded fund. It's pretty interesting that at major and intermediate-term market inflection points, currencies tend to diverge, giving an early heads-up to the equity markets," close quote. And you know, one of the really cool attributes of Raymond James is that we have some very bright financial advisors servicing our individual clients. And the quote mentioned and observation came from one of our FAs, namely Eric Lamb, and that's just one example of many I receive just about every day. Now, if you study Eric's chart, it's worth noticing, you can see that chart, by the way, in this morning's text version in today's of these comments in today's morning TAC. If you study Eric's chart, it's worth noticing that at the major top of 2007, as well as the major bottom of 2009, there was a divergence between the currency DBV and the S&P 500 exchange-traded fund, SPY. As Eric writes, "Currently, there is a very wide divergence between the two. It may be nothing, but it's something to keep an eye on," close quote. And as stated, it may be nothing, but it does, folks, add to the weight of the evidence. And in this business, you spend your days and nights gathering various thin reeds and try to weave them into an investment basket. Now, I started weeks ago targeting the mid-July through mid-August time frame, with D-Day being July 19th, to mark a period of time that for the first time this year we might see a meaningful decline. Now, over time, I began backing up that call with the reasons for that call. Some of the reasons doled out over a period of weeks were earnings and revenue estimates for the second quarter were too optimistic. The May 22nd to June 24th pullback in the S&P 500 was only 7.5%, but the New York Stock Exchange advanced decline line took a 17% hit, observing that over the past 10 years between mid-July and early August, that nine of the 10 S&P macro sectors have declined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we call this the weight of the evidence, and the weight of the evidence continues to suggest a pullback is in order, but that that pullback is indeed for buying. Yesterday, however, remained a buy the dips mantra, allowing the S&P 500 to close about 3.5 points above its low for the session. Worth noting is that the S&P held its 10-day moving average at 1685, but a violation of that 10-day moving average, as well as yesterday's intraday low of 1682.57, would imply, at the minimum, a short-term move to the S&P's 50-day moving average at 1643 and probably more downside than that. Now, I still think a downside move is in the works, despite yesterday's rescue. Today and into next week, I have some decidedly negative internal energy readings, so it will be interesting to see if the market can break this year's buy-the-dips mentality over the next week or so. Now, according to the sagacious SentimentTrader.com, the organization of Jason Gofert's fame, he writes, "Currently, volume in the leveraged ETFs over the past 5 days has averaged just barely 0.5% of New York Stock Exchange composite volume, which is very nearly the lowest on record. The lowest 5-day average was recorded in mid-May of this year, right before the latest correction took hold. We consider this as a yellow flag, and plainly, I agree with Jason." On the broad tape before the bell, Wall Street looks set to extend yesterday's losses, with investors cautious ahead of a slew of company reports that are earnings reports that are due out, and worries about China's slowdown and the impact on corporate earnings. Initial claims and jobless claims came out this morning. I'll touch on that in a minute. European markets traded lower as positive data from Germany and Britain failed to offset weakness in a number of stocks. Asian markets ended negatively. Commodities slipped, and oil, Brent crude, traded around, where is it right here, around $106 a barrel. Earnings show Europe is slowly recovering. Spain's tragic train death toll rose to 77, with many injured over that tragedy over there. And as I said, initial jobless claims were up to 343,000 versus 340,000 consensus estimates, and the prior numbers were revised to up 336,000 from 342,000. Durable goods orders came in up 4.2%. versus 1.4%, and the prior number was revised upward to 5.2% from 3.2%. This back-to-back strength in the report was due to continued gains in the transportation component, where 2 months of hefty orders for aircraft powered much of the advance. Excluding transportation, new orders were flat in June, after up 1% in May. Nonetheless, increases in unfilled orders help give the report a more positive tone. And that leaves the call for today. This just in from Lowry's. The bottom line is the market experienced its most intense selling since the June market low during yesterday's selling session, and the selling is coming off a market high, implying the possible start of a short-term market pullback. Signs of a diminished quality of the advance from the June low, I've talked about that, specifically increasing selectivity, have warned of the heightened potential for a pullback. And with some short-term indicators still overbought, a further move lower in the days ahead appears possible.